This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Mark Shuttleworth.
That's right. It is Rock Talk, and my name is Mark Shuttleworth. And joining us this morning, we have the executive director of the Greater Rochester Chapter of the American Red Cross. It's Jim Love. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. Always great to chat with you. We appreciate you and all you do and all your team does as well. Tell us what's new with the American Red Cross here in Rochester, but across the country.
Yeah, so, you know, we are, and I'm sure you guys already reported on this, but we are witnessing the most severe blood shortage that we have seen as an organizational standpoint and really from across the country. The national blood supply is extremely low right now. We're seeing these incredibly critical levels. Local hospitals, as well as hospitals across the country, are making really, really difficult decisions right now on who is getting blood and who isn't, just because of the shortage that we've been seeing.
What do you think is leading to the shortage? What's caused it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really, it's been a threefold reason for that. First of all, COVID is still playing havoc with across the country and with our blood drives. We've had to cancel a number of blood drives just because of people that are donors that are sick. We've had, unfortunately, staff that have been sick. So that has been obviously an issue with this. We've had inclement weather across the country, not just here in the Rochester community where we have seen significant snow come. There's canceled drives, but really, you know, across the country. And, you know, we're seeing ice storms and snowstorms and all sorts of things. And then the last issue, again, really kind of more on the COVID end also, we've not been able to reestablish ourselves in the local school districts or in the colleges to the level that we were doing before COVID. And unfortunately, about 40% of the blood that we collect comes from the educational systems. So that has continued to be a significant issue for us.
So where are you able to do blood drives at the moment?
So we really are looking at our community partners, our corporate partners, you know, churches, community centers, fire halls. But I'll also tell you this, Mark, that also has been difficult as well. As we've seen, you know, spikes in the Omicron variant, a number of our community partners also have said, you know, we would prefer not to expose our staff, facility or our facility to a possible COVID exposure. So that's been an issue as well. Now, again, you know, as you've reported, you know, the Omicron variant seems to be subsiding a little bit at this particular moment. Obviously, you know, some of the mandates have been lifted here in New York State, but it's going to take a while for us to really get that back ramped up again. And the further and further we go before we're able to do that, obviously the national blood crisis is going to continue to be an issue.
So it seems like usually when there's an issue with, you having to a blood shortage, if you will, it's usually because some kind of natural disaster has hit one part of the country. But what you can do what you can then do is lean more heavily on the other parts of the country to keep that supply up. But with something like COVID, I mean, it's everybody. And so the whole world. So there's no part of the country that's not been affected by it. And so that's why I think you're probably behind the eight ball, right? The lowest supplies you said in 10 years?
It's been over a decade right now, Mark. And, you know, it's a really good point. As we've done different interviews over the last, you know, few years with this. And you're right, this seems to be an issue. We have a hurricane or something in the south. We're able to pull blood from the northeast. When there's the wildfires on California, we can pull the blood from the central, you know, United States and the plains and move that blood over. COVID has impacted everything that we're doing. And again, not just donors, but as I mentioned, you know, the Red Cross staff and volunteers are not immune to this either.
Right.
You know, while we do have a mandatory vaccine mandate, again, as you know, folks are still getting sick with the vaccine. So it's been very difficult on the organization.
I'm sure. And just because, you know, you can't get out and do the drives doesn't mean there's not a need for blood. That need for blood doesn't go away. That is a constant.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, we're not, you know, technology is great, but we're not at the point right now where we can technologically being able to produce blood. The only way to produce blood right now is through donation. That's the only way we can do this.
Yeah, so if you're a regular donor with the American Red Cross, you are very, very valuable. And if you're able to get out and give blood, we encourage you to do so. We're speaking with Jim Love, the executive director of the American Red Cross chapter here in Rochester, this area. What people should go to your website to find out where local blood drives are?
Yeah, if you go to redcrossblood.org, you can put your zip code in there, and then it will populate the blood drives within a 10, 15, 20-mile radius, whatever you choose, the donor chooses to put in there from a miles aspect, and the number of blood drives and locations and the times, all that information is there. We are still doing appointments only, and we started that literally 2 years ago, right when COVID had started, so that we can continue to adhere to our guidelines here for social distancing and cleanliness around COVID, all those different aspects of our protocols around the pandemic. But really, again, folks that want to get blood, you know, we are letting them know that they'll have to make an appointment ahead of time.
If somebody's never given blood before, they go to your website, redcrossblood.org. They find the drive. Mm-hmm. They sign up. When they show up, do they need to bring anything? Do they need to be prepared? What do you recommend?
Great idea, great question. So make sure you bring your license. And as soon as we, as the donor, or really anyone enters the site, we're doing mandatory temperature checks right then and there. So we will check everybody, make sure everyone's got a normal temperature. There's a sign-in process, a registration process. Our volunteers will help you through that aspect. And then before you actually get on the table, we do what's called a health screening, where we will go through your health history, making sure that your iron levels are appropriate to give at that particular time. Again, a myriad of different questions about travel, et cetera. Once that donor clears all those protocols, you're ready to get on the table. And that takes about, from start to finish, of when you actually get on the table to off, it's only really about 10 to 15 minutes, and that's really all it is.
Wow. And so it doesn't matter what type of blood you have, obviously. So some is more flexible, I think, as far as, is that the right term? Flexible as far as use goes, where it's where it's more useful to more people, that kind of thing. Am I using the words? I'm butchering it, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, no, I think perfect. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the message is, first of all blood, we definitely need all blood.
Right.
But there are two types of blood that we definitely are seeing specific shortages of, and that is O negative and O positive. Okay. And those are the two that really, they're critical, obviously. One is used for when a trauma patient comes into the hospital and they don't know their blood type, they pull that off the shelf, and that's what they typically use when there's an unknown aspect or unknown blood type for a trauma patient. The other one is used for, it's the most universal one, that's O positive, and it is used to transfuse Rh blood type for patients as well. So again, both are critical. All blood is critical, but again, if you're either O negative or O positive, we desperately need those two.
All right. Our website is redcrossblood.org. That's, you put in your zip code. That's where you find the blood drives that are near you. And if you've never given blood before, now's a great time to start, given this shortage of 10 years. My goodness me, the lowest supply in 10 years. Now's a great chance to roll up your sleeve and get involved. If you are a regular donor, maybe you've let it slip a little bit because of COVID. It's understandable. Schedules were a mess and, you know, people were afraid to go different places. But if you feel comfortable doing it, we encourage you. We ask you. We plead with you. Go to redcrossblood.org and find a drive near you. And get back into that routine. What is that club called? I always have this conversation with Jim every time we speak. What is the group called that gives regularly every time?
It's the Sixer Club.
There it is. All right.
Which means that those individuals are giving every 56 days, six times a year.
There you go. All right. I'll try to remember it for next time, Jim. I promise. You've got a fundraiser coming up on March 27th. I want to hear all about this. It's an auction?
Yeah. So we're doing what's called the March Mission Madness Auction. It's a regional online auction that we are putting on to coincide with March's Red Cross Month, which begins, obviously, on March 1st. Again, we've got some great items that we're going to be auctioning off online, so it's not in person, but it's an online auction, from trips to some autographed items, from different sports players, We've got some great wine and liquor packages we're giving out. We've got an RV package for a week rental, which is great for folks who just want to get away and be able to go out and do some camping. But really, again, a number of different items that we're auctioning off in this. That auction will run from Sunday, March 27th, until Saturday, April 2nd, all online.
Okay, that's great. So you got a wide variety of things there. That's great. A lot of items to choose from.
Yeah, we really do. And I just want to, you know, specifically thank the local community. We could not do this kind of event, or really any of our fundraising events, without having the support from the local community to support this. So, again, thank you to everyone for the support of the Red Cross and this specific initiative.
How do people access the auction online?
Yeah, so if you go to redcross.org /Western New York, you'll be able to go on and register for the auction. And if you're a business that wants to donate something, you can actually go on there also and submit the inquiry that you're interested in donating something. But again, if you go in and pre-register, the auction will, again, start live on the 27th of March.
That's perfect. March 27th through April 2nd online. You can bid on those and bid generously because the money goes to the American Red Cross. We've talked about giving blood. We've talked about the fundraiser. But the American Red Cross does so much more. I mean, whenever there's the lead story on the national news, so often it's included, and the American Red Cross is on the scene. Tell us what the American Red Cross does on a grand scale. Remind us about how you guys are involved when it comes to natural disasters, but also how you're involved locally when there's house fires, things like that.
Yeah, you know, and it's a good question. And actually, you know, I know that you reported a few weeks ago on the Pines of Carrington fire. You know, American Red Cross volunteers were on the ground at about 3:30 in the morning. Mm. We had a team of 14 or 15 volunteers taking care of 65 individuals that were impacted by that fire. So you said, you know, any kind of natural disaster that occurs nationwide or from a local standpoint, our volunteers are ready to go to provide that comfort and care. And so we were able to do that. Our volunteers were there all that that day, late into the evening, making sure that every single person that was involved with that fire had a safe place to go, and they had access to funds that helped them purchase food, clothing, any other essentials that they may need. We also worked with a number of community partners that really started every single person that was affected on the road to recovery.
That's amazing. That's amazing. These are volunteers that you have that were up at in that particular instance, the Pines of Parrington fire. We're up at 3 a.m. You know, in the middle of the night, on hand to help and comfort.
Yep. Our volunteers are really the backbone of the organization. We could not do the work without having such a committed group of volunteers. I mean, these folks are just awesome.
Yeah.
And we are always looking for volunteers, Mark. I mean, that is a need that we always have every single day in this community. We have about 1,000 volunteers here in the greater Rochester community that are spread out through all of our programs, disaster services, blood services, our military programs, our preparedness programs, et cetera. But we always are encouraging folks in the community, if they're interested in getting involved and really giving back to the community and helping people. That's what our mission is to help people. So if people are interested in doing that, again, they can go to redcross.org and put in a volunteer application. And we're more than happy to give them the training and have them help save a life and be impactful in the community.
And I was just going to ask about that. You mentioned the training because, there's no prerequisite for background. Yeah. They come to you as long as they're willing, their heart is in it. You can train them and you'll get them going.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, you don't need a professional background in anything within the organization. Again, we have volunteers from all certain walks of life, all certain backgrounds, all age groups, all from different diverse communities. And really with the one goal here when they join the Red Cross, it's really making a difference in the community and helping people. That's really what we have our volunteers do. And so, yeah, you don't need, a background in a certain discipline out there. We take everybody and we will find a place for everybody that's interested in volunteering. We have a place for you.
And your volunteers, they will drop everything and hop a flight or head somewhere, you know, I know they were down south not long ago. I forget what the, I mean, there's so many disasters. I can't remember what the disaster was we were talking about, but we had a bunch of people from Rochester that were down on the ground. They dropped everything, you know, stepped away from their job for a short period of time to go down and assist. That's amazing.
Oh, it really is. And really, Mark, it shows the commitment to the mission of these volunteers toward the American Red Cross. And as you said, I think it might have been the hurricanes down in Louisiana,
I think that's right.
Last year that we had folks there, or it might have been the wildfires in California. But we have volunteers that are ready to be deployed at a moment's notice. They typically are on a three-week assignment where, again, they are right there in the trenches working with and helping those that have been impacted by those disasters and really helping them on the road to recovery. And as you and I have chatted, you know, these national disasters, these natural disasters that happen across the country, they're just so devastating.
Yeah.
And they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year that we continue to watch these occur. These volunteers, I mean, they really are the ones that are doing the work in these communities. I can't thank the number of folks that we have within the Greater Rochester chapter that just, they stop everything, as you said, and they go and they help complete strangers that have been impacted by these disasters.
Pretty incredible people. And if you're looking for a way to volunteer that is incredibly rewarding, then this could be what you're looking for. You can reach out to the local chapter of the American Red Cross and get more information there, and they'll get you all trained. But for heaven's sakes, don't sit on the sidelines because you think you're not equipped to do it. If your heart is in it, if you're a caring, compassionate person, it's a good way to give back. And Jim and his team will take good care of you and get you all prepared to serve and to do that. One more time with the auction. It's March 27th through April 2nd. And folks,
it's online. And then again, if you go to www.redcross.org/Western New York, you should be ready. You can get you registered and you can participate in that auction come March 27th.
That's great. Give generously because it's all for the American Red Cross. And then once again, if you are able to give blood, find a blood drive that's near you or take a long drive. Drive 45 minutes. Go to one that's a bit further away.
Yeah.
If the weather's nice.
Go to a winery afterwards.
Oh, it's like you're selling tour packages. I like that, Jim.
I should be a tour package. You know, package your blood drives and your wineries.
I love it, Jim. That is the most creative thing I think I've ever heard. I love it. Go to redcrossblood.org to find a blood drive near a winery or near you and give. Just give blood before you go to the winery.
That's all we ask.
Hey, Jim Love, Executive Director of the American Red Cross here in Rochester. We are grateful for you, buddy. Always a pleasure to talk to you. You're always welcome here on Legends to get the message out because you guys do such good work. We're grateful. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be on with you guys again. Thank you for all you guys really helping us move the mission Red Cross forward. We appreciate it.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.